Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Do turn to it either in a physical Bible or in on your phones or devices. Thanks, Beth.
So the reading is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same joy, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfil his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
Thanks, thank you. Our Father in heaven, you are the one true God. You are King, and you sit on your throne forever and ever. O Lord, you deserve our every praise this morning for who you are and for what you've done. And Lord, as we gaze around this beautiful countryside of North Wales, we declare this morning that you are the one who made all of it by your powerful words. Lord, we confess this morning that we can't get to the bottom of your greatness. We cannot understand how truly awesome you are. You are a being than which none greater can be conceived. We cannot even think of a God that is greater than the one you really are. And Lord, as we consider your greatness this morning and we think about your character, you are a gracious God. You are a compassionate one. You are slow to anger. You're rich in love. And Lord, in comparison, we're nothing. We are ungracious. We often fail to love even those who deserve our love, let alone those who don't. We are uncompassionate. Lord, there are countless people in need that we could have helped, and yet we have walked on by. We are quick to anger, quick to snap at those who irritate us. And we're poor in love. Oh, Lord, we're rich in love only towards ourselves. Lord, help us to see our hearts as they really are this morning. And as you show us what we are really like, may that drive us to the cross of Jesus Christ, where every one of those sins can be paid for he is the perfect Saviour, the one in whom we can find forgiveness of sins. And so, Lord, we confess our sin to you this morning. Lord, for those things that we've done that we shouldn't have done, those things we've thought that we shouldn't have thought, those things that we've said that we shouldn't have said. And Lord, for those things that we haven't done, thought or said that we should have, oh Lord, please forgive us for those also, only on the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. Thank you that full, free and final forgiveness for all that we have done wrong is on offer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that his cross, His resurrection is our only hope in life and death. Oh Lord, as we gather this morning, we ask that you would provide each of us with whatever it is that we need this week. Please give us what we need physically, for food, for water, for health, for friendships, for shelter. Lord, we pray that you'd provide us what we need spiritually this week. Lord, that might be new life for some of us. Please grant that to us this week as we hear the wonderful message of Jesus. And for those of us who have already trusted in Christ, Lord, what we need most is a close walk with you. And so please draw us close to you. Thank you that you have promised that as we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And Lord, please grow us spiritually. Grow in us the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, may our lives abound with fruit that brings honour to your name in light, in response to what you have done for us in Jesus. Lord, we pray for the work of this church. Thank you so much for our brothers and sisters at Ballet Evangelical Church. Thank you for their warm welcome. Thank you for their hospitality. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you that for so many years they have been declaring the gospel to Ballet and surrounds. Please, Lord, encourage them. Help them to keep on going with that endeavour of holding out the light of the world to this dark world. Lord, we pray that you'd provide them with a pastor. Lord, help them to trust you in the meantime. And we pray that you provide for their needs, whatever they need, Lord, please give it to them. Pray for those who are unwell, unable to meet with us today. Pray that you'd encourage them in their isolation, in their loneliness, in their inability to meet with other brothers and sisters today. Please meet with them and help them to keep on running this Christian race. Lord, for this world around us, Lord, we pray for peace in what is a world of such conflict, of such uncertainty. Thank you that you are the rock, you are the unchanging one. And so we pray that you would enable people to see that across this world. Pray that the gospel would run freely in every nation. And Lord, for our brothers and sisters around this world who will suffer for Christ today, Lord, we may be able to do very little to help them. But Lord, we can pray with them. And so we ask that you would sustain them. Please give them the strength to stay faithful to you, even if it will cost them their lives today. And help us to be grateful for the freedoms we have in this country to even meet in this kind of way, to express our faith in such a public way. And Lord, help us shortly as we come to your words. Open our ears that we may hear, our hearts that we may be challenged, and our eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ and the way ahead for us as those who are trusting in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We read in 2 Timothy 3 that all scripture has been given by God to us for our instruction, training, righteousness and everything else. I wonder, do you really believe that? What about when it gets a bit tough? I saw this morning, I was trying to find a book, so I looked on my Kindle to try and find a book, and found it, and saw that I'd read that book and read the next book, but then the next I hadn't finished. This summer's blockbuster in the cinema is Homer's The Odyssey, or in the cinema, it's Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey. And I've read The Odyssey, and that's fairly easy to read. But I also tried reading Homer's The Iliad. Anybody finished reading The Iliad? Hands up. One. All right, there's one clever one amongst us. If you know Stephen Clarke, some of you will. Stephen Clarke is very bright. He's reading The Iliad in the original Greek. I haven't got a brain half the size of Stephen, so there you go. But I tried to read it, and when the going got tough, what did I do? I stopped. I failed. I quit. And we can do that with Scripture, can't we? You start reading perhaps Genesis, great. Loads of stories. You get to Exodus, wonderful. The Exodus and everything else. And then you get to Leviticus, and it's like the brakes come on, and it's tough. And for those of you of a certain age, between 14 and 18, who are not from Holland, but are from Wales or England, who are on camp, we're looking at Leviticus for the next 5 mornings. Why? Because We want to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of Scripture, all of it, has been given to us for our instruction, hasn't it? That's what we believe. That's what we say we believe. But do we? And so, that's what we're going to be doing this week. This morning, we had a reading from Philippians chapter 2, which is what we're going to be looking at this morning. And I'm sure as we read it together, you thought, oh yes, this passage is wonderful. This passage is marvellous. Talks of the humility of Christ. It reminds us that he made himself nothing. He became a servant. He is equal with the Father, yet willingly gave that up. And one day's coming, he's going to be raised, exalted. Every knee will bow. What a passage. It is wonderful. It is really one of those great jewels in the crown of Scripture. How wonderful that we'll be looking at that this morning. How easy it will be. And we're not looking at that. Because as the verses go on, the verses get more and more challenging for us. And so I want us in particular to look at verses 15 and 16 this morning, but also as well we need to gain the context as well to see how we are to be what God wants us to be. And so verses 15 and 16, even 14, you get to a certain age, don't you, where you just can't read little numbers. But it's the end of verse 15. I can only see with one eye to see you, one eye to see close. It's an age thing, isn't it? But verses 15 and 16. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold out or hold firmly to the word of life. Shining like stars in the sky, holding out the word of life. The whole little passage here after the jewels in the crown of those earlier verses are challenging for us this morning. They really are. And they're the type of verses that so often we want to kind of skip past and overlook and perhaps come back and look at what Philippians 2 says about Jesus. But we live in a dark world. We live in a world of darkness, where people today, can't speak for the Netherlands, but I can speak for Wales and the UK, there are people who are grasping for truth. Particularly, it seems, among young people. Particularly, it seems, among young men. But they are grasping for truth. The question is, where will they find the truth as they search for it? Will, when they come into contact with you, will they find you to be someone who shines like a star in the sky and someone who holds out the word of life? So first thing, first question I want to ask is, do you want to be a star? Do you want to be a star? Just had the Football World Cup. Some of us are kind of glad it's over. Some of us aren't. But who, before the World Cup started, who was going to be the star? Was it going to be Lionel Messi? Was it going to be Mbappe? Who was going to be the big star? Would it be Harry Kane? Would it be, I'm trying to think of a Dutch player, but he quickly tells, or somebody, I couldn't think of anyone quick enough. Just tells. Who was it going to be? Was it going to be, well, it was in the end, Rodri. I mean, surely he's Welsh with a name like Rodri. But who is going to be the star? We like our stars, don't we? I'm so old, when I was in school, we had those little books you used to get. If you did good work, remember? You'd have a gold star or a silver star or that kind of, it's supposed to be bronze, I guess, but it's kind of more brown. You'd get a little star on your workbook. See, you young people, you've missed out on so much. But you want to be a star, don't you? I've got a little granddaughter who's grandpa's little star. That we all want to be a star. Stars here in the context as Paul writes to the church in Philippi. He is saying then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Those light bearers. That's what Paul is saying. You are to be a light bearer like the star in the sky. I watched The Odyssey in the cinema last week. And in it, they're in the ship a lot. And of course, in the dark, what are they doing to track? They haven't got sat-nav, they haven't got Google Maps. What are they doing? They're looking up, aren't they, to see the light of the stars. They're following the stars. Well, they don't, actually, because that's how they get into all kinds of trouble. But that's what you're supposed to do as a sailor in the darkness. The stars bear light. How are we to be as followers of Jesus Christ? Light bearers. Jesus is the light of the world. He is. What does he say to his followers? How did he describe them? You are the light of the world. You are that star shining in the sky, guiding others, bringing light into the utter darkness. How? How are you and I the light of the world? Well, we are to reflect the light of Jesus. In one of the Indiana Jones films, I can't remember which one, but he's in a cave or in a dark room or whatever it is, and there's one kind of light shining in, and he moves a mirror that's there, and the light shines off that mirror onto another mirror and another, and it lights up wherever they're supposed to be finding. What's happening? The light is the mirror is reflecting that light. We're told what we are to be. Just in the previous verse, we are to be pure. Blameless and pure, verse 14. Imagine going, some of you are camping at the moment. One of the things that puts me off camping, there's lots of things, one of them is communal toilets. It's late at night. Ready to go to bed, you've got to go to the communal toilet to wash. And there's the huge mirror, and there's the light on. You want to be able to see, to wash and everything else, but you're in a queue. And there's six men in front of you. And they've all been chewing chicken and beef all day. And the first one's at the mirror, you're number six in the queue. And the first one, before he brushes his teeth, gets the floss out. Starts flossing. Sorry, this is gross. There you are. But he starts flossing. And the mirror, which was clean, it's not so clean anymore, is it? And then the second one goes, and you're number five in the queue. Before he brushes his teeth, and there's no flecks of toothpaste. And he starts flossing. He's had ribs as well. Oh. Etc., etc. What happens? The mirror gets grimy and dirty. You can't see so well, can you? The mirror needs to be kept blameless and pure, clean, in other words. If we're going to be the light of the world, if we're going to be a star for Jesus, if we're going to shine like stars in that dark sky, Paul says you've got to be blameless and pure, clean. Keep that mirror clean. There was a story told of someone who was leaving his job, and everyone knew in the firm that he worked that he was a Christian. There was a sense in which he held out the word of life to them. Big problem. Every week when he did his expenses, extra miles. Every day when he was clocking in and clocking out, he was claiming for extra time. Those holidays, those sickies that he took. What was he doing? Well, everyone knew that he was Christian. He was holding out the word of life. Problem is, not blameless, not pure. The mirror is so full of dirt. Can't reflect the light of Jesus in the way that he should have. Is he a star? you want to be a star? Second thing we see, do you want to serve others? Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. It's not a great translation. Literally, it is hold out the word of life. Holding out. You know what that's like. For those of us who are British, we greet one another by holding out a hand to shake. That's what you do. You hold out your hand. Ah, for the young people, they hold it out like a fist. Don't. And what's the phrase? Don't leave me hanging. Because the choice is there. You can choose, can't you, to take that hand or not. But the offer is there. The hand is out. Sometimes you go to a lovely wedding reception, something like that, perhaps a very posh birthday party in a lovely hotel. And somebody will come round with a tray of drinks, with Buck's Fizz or some orange juice or whatever it is. They'll be holding out the drinks for you. That's literally what Paul means here, holding out the glass for you. Do you want that? This is what Paul is saying. As we serve others, how do we do it? Yes, we shine like stars in the sky. We're to do that, but we're also to hold out. We're to offer out. What is it? What are we offering? The word of life. You tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why knowing all of Scripture is so important, isn't it? I get asked in prison the most random questions. Sometimes people have been reading their books. They love Revelation. They love some of the difficult chapters in Daniel. And they'll ask about it. They'll ask difficult questions. How are you going to answer if you don't know the word of life? Someone comes to you with a difficult question about Leviticus. What is this all about? What does this mean? Should I not eat black pudding? Should I do this, that, the other? What am I going to do? You get asked questions like that. Do you know the word of life so that you can answer them? Do you know the Lord Jesus, who is the word of life, to offer him? We need to know the word, don't we? Again, there's a story told of someone leaving work. And everyone said, what a great bloke he was. Everyone was really sorry to see him go. He never fiddled his expenses. He always worked extra hours without being asked. Everyone just loved him. He was popular. He was nice, never lost his temper, he was calm, patient. He was the model person to work with. And in his leaving little do, they give him a card and a little gift. And they said to him, do you know, he said, one thing we want to know, you're so great. We've decided you must be a Buddhist or something. He had no idea that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Why? He was shining like a star in the sky. But what was he reflecting? Because he wasn't holding out the word of life. Nobody knew he was a follower of Jesus Christ. The two have to go together. You have to hold out that Saviour that you know. And you have to know him from the word. Are you growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? How do you get that knowledge? Don't just go to the easy passages like the early bits of Philippians 2 or Genesis and Exodus. You're to be someone who doesn't just drink milk. You're to be someone who is chewing the meat of the word of God. That's how you know Jesus, by looking at the difficult passages and studying them and thinking about them and asking questions about them from others. So that you're able to hold out that word of life. Then the third thing. And here comes the difficult challenge. How do you shine And how do you serve? How do you hold out that word of life? Well, Paul tells us. Verse 12, therefore, in the light of us trying to be more like the Lord Jesus, who shows ultimate humility, there is no humility like his. We are, in verse 5, to have the same mindset as Christ. In our relationships, we are to put other people first. How do we do that? We imitate Jesus. We're to be like him. Who? What's he like? Well, he is the one who has the name which is above every name, but he plunges, doesn't he? Descends into this world. Remember in the Paris Olympics, and I didn't watch the opening ceremony. It was a Friday night, I was in youth. But in the opening ceremony, there was some kind of mock of the Last Supper. And the person paying Jesus, it was just total mockery of Jesus. And people were complaining and kind of up in arms about it. They're trying to humiliate Jesus. Remember somebody saying, really? Can you humiliate him anymore? He's the heavenly Son of God, God the Son, who has descended from perfection into this sinful world. You can't mock him anymore. You can't make him kind of descend any more than he already has. It's impossible. And in the light of him and his descent, and then his exaltation, in the light of that, verse 12, therefore. And here comes the troubling verses, because they're not so easy. Because they're not so much now about the Lord Jesus, but about us. And the way that you and I live for him, and the way that you and I shine and hold for him, serve him. As you have always obeyed, verse 12, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's God who works in you to will and to act according to his, to fulfill his good purpose. Here we go. Here come the verses that we'll just kind of skip over normally. Do everything, without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. You and I live in a warped and crooked and perverse generation. 'Twas ever thus. There is nothing new under the sun. It is not worse now than it's ever been. It's just different. And we've to be that light, to reflect the light of Jesus, to be that star, to hold out the word of life. What have we got to do? How are we going to be blameless and pure? Well, we've got to do everything without grumbling and arguing. And there is a massive challenge, isn't it? Here's where the rubber hits the road. Tomorrow morning, you're in the Co-op. Other supermarkets are available. Not many in Bala, but there are. And you're in the queue. And the automatic checkout tills, yet again, are not working. Technology fails again. And I don't know the lady who works in the store, but we'll call her Rebecca. Okay? Only because I can see Rebecca at the corner of my eye. We'll call her Rebecca. And you're in the queue, and there's 20 in the queue. And Rebecca works hard, and she's lovely. And she is just chatting to every customer. And the queue is waiting. And you're thinking, your foot starts to tap. And the person in front of you sighs, the person behind you. And then you get movement to the next one. And then the conversation, how's the children? How's the grand? Person behind you, seriously? Come on. So what do? The temptation is, isn't it? And this is what we do. I know she's lovely, and I know she wants a chat, but I've got to go, come on. And grumbling and moaning, and we become moaning myrtles. That's what we do. And how different are we in that line? Are we shining like a star? And are we holding out the word of life? Or are we moaning, complaining, arguing? Or in the afternoon lunchtime. I can't remember the name of the bakers. There's a few bakeries. They're better than Greg's. But imagine you're in the queue at Greg's. There's always a queue at Greg's wherever you go. And the same thing happens. What are you going to do? Queue so long. So slow. You're on your lunch hour. It's a rush. Person behind you sighs. Really? Come on. You say to them, isn't it good that the Lord has provided so much food for us to eat? What are you doing? You're not preaching a sermon, are you? You're not giving out a tract. Or later on in the afternoon, you're in the bank, and again, there's a queue, and it's delayed, and everything else, and you know, the bank is shut, lunchtime, and all that. And you want to complain. The person behind you starts to. You say, isn't it great that we're able to have a conversation? Isn't it great to have friendship? As the person speaking to the bank teller is having a conversation, not just about the weather, but about their grandchildren or whatever it is. And it's going on and it's taking time. And you can't, but you say something. Well, isn't it wonderful to be able to have friendship and fellowship in this world that God has made? He's made us, hasn't he, to speak to one another. Isn't that great? Isn't that a blessing? What are you doing? You're not preaching a sermon. You're not giving out a tract. But what are you doing? You're shining like a star in the sky above. And you're holding out just a little word of life. You're offering something. Do you want to carry on this conversation? I'm telling you, I know God. I'm telling you how good God is. You're going to pick up on it. You're holding it out for them. Do everything without grumbling. How many sermons did the Lord Jesus preach? How many times did he literally teach? But also, how many times did he just be the light of the world by what he did? And by that little conversation? And by the way that he reacted? It wasn't just his sermons. It wasn't just his miracles. It was everything in the way that the Lord Jesus lives. We know that he does everything without grumbling and without arguing. And we are told in Philippians chapter 2 that we are to be like Jesus. And so how are we going to do that? Well, we've got to be more like Jesus. We've got to humble ourselves and put him first and put other people first, just like he does. And do it and do everything without that grumbling and without that arguing. When you look back, the Exodus, the wilderness years in the Old Testament, what's one of the big sins that the Israelites commit? It's grumbling, isn't it? It's amazing, but it is. Why? What are they saying? We're not satisfied with what you provide, God. We're not satisfied with you, God. Philippians 2, Paul, as he writes, before he gives us this big challenge, reminds us of how great and mighty and worthy the Lord Jesus is. In the light of that, let's not grumble and let's not argue and let's shine like stars in the sky. As we hold out that word of life. Who are we to be like? The Lord Jesus. Who else? Well, the verses continue. Because there's an example given to us. Verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him, who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work with me in the work of the gospel. Do you know, I look at these verses, everything, don't grumble, don't argue, and I think, yeah, okay, the Lord Jesus can do it, but I'm not Jesus. But Paul says, yeah, for Timothy, what an epitaph that is about Timothy. I can say this morning, Timothy, what a star. A real star. Wonder for you this morning in your Christian life. But other people say, you are a star. Let's pray that God would make you. He is the one, remember, who works in you and through you. May he make you a star to shine in the sky, in the darkness. And may he encourage you to hold out that word of life.